We are beginning Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, in the middle of the second line from the top, with the words V'chilufa B'chalto. We learned yesterday that there was a machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef as to the amount of time that Bein HaShemashos takes. Rabba was of the opinion that it took 3/4 of a mil, and Rabbi Yosef was of the opinion that it took 2/3 of a mil. Rabba's amount of Bein HaShemashos was longer than that of Rabbi Yosef's. Rabba used the numeral 3, and Rabbi Yosef used the numeral 2. It was only 2/3, whereas Rabba's was 3/4. The Gemara says, V'chilufa b'chalta, that just the opposite is found in a totally unrelated halacha concerning moving a basket on Shabbos. Any keli is allowed to be moved on Shabbos if it's not a keli that's used for a forbidden malach on Shabbos. A kli shemalachter leheter is permitted to be used. At what point does a keli become too big that it's no longer considered a keli? This is the machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. And here, they invert their shitas as opposed to what they said in the halachas of Bein HaShemashos. The Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Chalta bas trei kuri, that a basket that contains within it 2 karayim, that can hold within it 2 karayim of produce. A kur is 30 saw, so 2 kurs would be 60 saw. Says Rabba Shor Little Tulot, you are permitted to move that on Shabbos, and there is no halach of muktza on that keli. However, ubas tlosa kuri, but if it is 3 kurayim, then it's too big, and usher l'taltala, then you're not allowed to move it. It is no longer considered a keli, and therefore it is muktza. Rabbi Yosef Amar, no. Bas tlosa kuri namishori. If it contains 3 karayim of produce, then that is still considered a keli, and one is permitted to move it on Shabbos. Bas arbo kuri usur. But if it's that big that it contains within it 4 kurim of produce, that would be 120 saw, then that is forbidden. It is too big and is no longer considered a keli. So Rabba, who in the previous machlokas of Bein HaShemashos used the number 3, and it was larger than Rabbi Yosef's 2, because Rabbi Yosef said it was 2/3 of a mil, and Rabba said 3/4 of a mil. Here, it's just the opposite, where Rav Yosef is using the number 3 to tell us that bas tlosa kuri namishori, that if it's 3 karayim, it is still considered a keli and it's mutter. Whereas, according to Rabba, it is only mutter if it is 2 karayim. But if it is 3, it is no longer considered a keli. So what it takes for something to be called a keli, according to Rabba, there's less of a threshold than according to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef has increased it to 3 karayim, and Rabba only to 2, which is just the opposite as far as the proportions and numbers of 2 and 3, which we had in the Machlokas of Bein HaShemashos, and that's what the Gemara means with V'chilufa, and the opposite, V'chalta, concerning a basket. Omar Abaya said, Boy Minei de Mar, I once asked the question of Mar, Rashi says, this is Rabba, the Rebbe of Abaya, and when did I ask him the question? B'shas Mais, I asked it to him when it was negayah to me, I had this very shaila on Shabbos, could I move a certain keli? And in that instance, Vafilu bas trei kuri lo shorli. At that time, Rabba did not even permit me to move a keli, which was 2 karayim. If it was 60 saw, if it contained 60 saw, according to Rabba, when he paskened at that time, he said it's already not a keli, and it is muktzah, and you cannot move it. Kiman, Rashi explains, according to whom would this psak of Rabba go? Where do we find a precedent that something that is 2 karayim is no longer considered a keli, even if it's only 2 karayim? Kehai tana, this not a, it goes according to that tana which we learned in a mishnah in Masechta Kelim. Kaveris hakash, if you have a straw basket, Ukaveres hakonim, where you have a basket made out of reeds. Ubor svin alexandrius, and you have a boat from Alexandria in Egypt, and within the boat there is, as Rashi explains, a pit which is used for fresh water. Since you're sailing on the sea, which has salted water, and you need water to drink, they created a bore in this large boat from Alexandria. The Gra takes out the next word, afalpi. So we'll learn it without the word afalpi. Ubor svin Alexandria, sheyesh lahem, that all of these things, meaning the straw basket and the reed basket and the bor svin Alexandria, all have shulayim. They have flat bottoms. The hein machzikos mem saw, and they contain 40 saw, belach, of liquid. Shehein, which is the equivalent of karayim biyavesh, of two kurs of produce when it is not liquid, but when it is a dry solid. Tahirim, then these are too large to be considered kalim, and therefore they are tohar. As Rashi explains, that we find a hekesh, a comparison between kli eitz, wooden kalim, and a sack. And we learn out from a sack that anything that is called a keli has to be able to be moved, whether it is full of contents or whether it is empty. And something that can contain within it two karayim, 60 saw of solid produce, is too large to be moved when it is full to its capacity, and therefore it has no halach of a keli, and therefore it is tor. And the Gemara is assuming that just like we find in Hilchas Tumah v'Tahara, that such a large keli is not considered a keli, and therefore it is tor. So hu adin, Rabba paskin for Hilchas Shabbos concerning Muktzah, that this is not considered a keli, and that's why I told Abaya that is Muktzah, and you are not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Amar Abaya said, Abaya, Shmami, no, I learned from this mission in Kalim, Hai Gutsha Tilsa Havi, that what is the difference between a liquid which there is no godesh? Godesh means that there's a heap. When you put something into a container and it's a dry solid, then you can load it up above the edge of the vessel and it will not fall down. However, by liquid, as soon as it goes above the edge of the vessel, it will drip out of the container. So how much more can a container hold when you're dealing with dry solid as opposed to liquid? I see that it can contain one third more, because in this mission in Kalim we said that the Kali, the Kaveris HaKash and Kaveris HaKonim and the Bor, Svin Alexandrius, held 40 saw in liquid, which are 2 karayim, which equals 60 saw in solid. So the ratio of 40 to 60 means that it can contain one third more solid than liquid. Rashi points out that this is not by all kalim, but only by a kalim that they used to have in those days of which Abai was speaking, and they used to make a kalim which the width was 2 times the height. In other words, the keli was the height of the keli was a half of its width, and it was a round cylinder keli, and such a keli could contain one third more in yavish than lach. Other kelim with other sizes and dimensions, the halacha would be different, but that common keli in the days of Abaya, it would contain one third more solid than liquid. The Gemara continues, Abaya chazil rove de kodavil marav. We've been learning about Baina Shemashas, and we learned on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis in yesterday's blot that it is considered Baina Shemashos when there is redness in the eastern sky. And Abaya saw that Rava, when he wanted to determine when Baina Shemashos was, he was looking at the western sky. Omar Leis said Abaya to Rava, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Madimim, that it's Baina Shemashos as long as it's read in the east, so why are you looking at the west? Amar lei, to which Rava responded, Mi savra pnei mizrich mamish, do you think that what the Braisa meant is that one has to look towards the eastern face of the horizon? Loi, what the Braisa actually meant was panim, you have to look at the face of the horizon, hamadimen es hamizrich, that caused the east to be reddened, which means actually you have to look at the western horizon, which is what I am doing. Ikidi Amri, some say that the story went a little different. Rava Chazil Abaya dekar Davi Lemizrach. Rava saw that Abaya was following the simple meaning of the Braisa, and he was turning towards the east to see if it had gotten reddened, if it was banished from Ashes. Amar Lei said Rava to Abaya, not Abaya to Rava as in the previous version, but rather Rava said to Abaya, Mi Savra Pnei Mizrach Mamish, do you think that the Braisa is referring to the eastern horizon? Ponim Hamadimin Esa Mizrach. What it's really referring to is the west, and you should turn to the west, and that you should look at that face of the horizon, which causes the eastern part to become red. Visimonech, where do we find a precedent of something that causes something else to become reddened concerning the sun? The answer is Kavsa, a window. When the sun streams, the rays of the sun stream through a window, it will cause redness on the wall opposite the window in which the sun is shining its rays. Continues the Gemara, Rav Nechemya Omer, the Shita of Nechemya was as far as Banish Mashes, which we had in the Brice on Lama Dalam of Days, Kidei Shehalach Odom Mishatishka Achama Chatzi Mil, from the setting of the sun, which we learned yesterday, the Pashup Shad is from when the ball of the sun leaves the horizon and sets. From that time, how much he could walk in a Chatzi Mil, and we said yesterday that the simple understanding is that a person can walk a mil in 18 minutes, and therefore a chatzi mil, it would take him 9 minutes. According to Rav Nechemya, Banish Mosh lasts from Shkiyas Achama for another 9 minutes. Amar Rav Chanina, said Rav Chanina, Haroitza Leida, someone who wants to know, Shirish of Rav Nechemya explains the Rashba, what the Gemara is referring to is when Baina Shmashis ends according to Rav Nechemya. If you want to know that shear, that amount, what time is that? So here's a way that you can determine it. Yaniya Chama Bereisha Carmel. A person should go up to the top of Har HaCarmel. And as Rashi explains, that at that time when you're on top of the mountain, you are able to see the sun setting on the tops of the mountains, and you could see it longer than someone that is looking at the sun from on earth. The Yered, and he should go down, as the Mefarshim say, gingerly. He should go down quickly down the mountain. The Yitbal Biyam, and he should be Tovel in the Mediterranean, the Yala, and he should go back up the mountain. And the time it takes him to do that, Vizehu Shiur Shor of Nechemya. By the time he comes up the mountain, he will have come to the end of the Shiur of Nechemya, which will be the Chatzi Mil, which will take him approximately 9 minutes to do this. Amr Rabchia. Rabchia said something else concerning Har HaCarmel and the Mediterranean. Haroitz Alir is Be'er Shal Miriam. If one wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, it was in the Schus of Miriam, as Rashi brings down, that Klal Yisrael had water in the Midbar. And the Pasuk says, Vatama Shal Miriam, after Miriam died, there's a Pasuk which says, right next to the death of Miriam, V'loi Hoyam Mayim Leida, there was no more water for the congregation because the Be'er went away after Miriam died, since it had only come to help Klal Yisrael in the Schus of Miriam. So if you want to see that Be'er Shal Miriam, Yala L'Rosh HaCarmel, he should go up to the top of Har HaCarmel, V'yitzapa, and he should gaze into the Mediterranean, V'yiren, he will see, Kimin Kivora, he will see a boulder, Rashi explains, Sela Ogul, a round rock, V'asui Kikabra, and he will see it looks like a sif, Biyam, he'll see it in the Mediterranean. Vizuhi Be'er Shel Miriam, and this in fact is the Be'er of Miriam. Amr Rav, said Rav, a halacha, mayin ametaltel, if you have a spring which moves from place to place, tor, it is not makabel tuma, it is also not considered mayim she'uvim, that it's in a keli. Vizehu Be'er Shel Miriam, where in history do we find such a precedent that there was such a movable, flowing water that we find in the case of Be'er Shel Miriam, and in fact it is kosher for someone to be tovelin, and it is not considered Maim She'uvin. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Bein Hashmashes Rav Yehuda, the Bein Hashmashes that we discussed yesterday from Rabbi Yehuda, his opinion of Bein Hashmashes, if you remember, we had a machloikis Rab and Rabbi Yosef, how long that Bein Hashmashes was. Was it 2/3 of a mil or 3/4 of a mil? Was it from the beginning of the redness to the east until the period of time when it's Vade Laila, which is when the west becomes dark, like the top of the horizon becomes dark, like this bottom of the horizon? That's according to the Shita of Rabbah. And according to Rabbi Yosef, the Bein Hashmashes was less. It was only 2/3 of a mil. And it was from the time that the bottom of the horizon became dark, although the top of the horizon was not yet dark, until the top of the horizon looks like the bottom and they're both equally dark. That was the machlokes we had yesterday between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. So this period of Bein Hashmashes of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, and here we have Rav Yehuda the Amora is saying this halacha in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel concerning the words of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. In that period of Bein Hashmashes, Kahanim Tovlim Boy, the Kahanim may be Tovel, and then they are able to eat Truma, as we learned in Brachas of Bezum et Aleph, that the Kahanim are allowed to eat truma if they became tamei and they go to the mikveh. If they went to the mikveh before nighttime, then once it becomes night, they're able to, once there's seisik hachavim, the stars have come out, it's vadei lila, they're able to go and eat truma. However, if they were only toivel at night, they did not go through what we call the hair of shemesh process. They did not wait until the sunset and darkness descended on the world, but rather they went to the mikveh after it got dark, so then they have to wait another 24 hours until they can eat truma. The halach is that the kohen has to go to the mikveh before Har of Shemesh. So says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, that in the period of time of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana's, his period of Bein Hashmashes, either according to Rabbi Shita or according to Rabbi Yosef Shita, but during that time period, Kohanim Tovlim Boy, we can consider it as if it was Vaday Yoim, it is definitely daytime, and then following the Bein Hashmashes will become dark, and there was Har of Shemesh, and then he's able to eat the Trum at night. Afraid the Gemara asks, Laman, who are you saying this halacha according to? Eleimel Rabbi Yehuda, if you're saying it according to Rabbi Yehuda himself, how could that be? Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is Bein Hashmashes. As we learned yesterday, Bein Hashmashes is a period of suffix. It's a suffix whether it's completely day, it's a suffix whether it's completely night. Every moment of Bein Hashmashes is a suffix. Maybe it's a combination of day and night. As we learned yesterday, there were 3 sveikas. So Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a time of suffix. If it's a time of suffix, it can very well be that this time that the kohen went to the mikveh was a time of Lila. And if so, he did not go through the Har of Shemesh process. He did not go to the mikveh before it came dark. So he's going to have to wait another 24 hours. So how can we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Kohanim can be Teufel and then eat right away the Trim at night? Sveiku, it's a suffix. Ella, Bein Hashmashes, Rabbi Yehuda, L'Rabbi Yosi, Kohanim Teufelim Boy. What the Gemara means, what Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel meant, is that in the time period that Rabbi Yehuda considers to be Bein Hashmashes, what does Rabbi Yosi hold about that time period? And the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes ends before Rabbi Yossi's Banish Mashes. Rabbi Yossi was the one who said that Banish Mashes keherif ayin, zeh nichnas v'zeh yaitzei, that the day before ends and the new day is about to come, and the period right in the middle, which no one can know exactly when that moment is, that moment of the blinking of an eyelash is Banish Mashes, and that moment comes after the culmination of Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes. So according to Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yehuda's period of Banish Mashes, that's a Vada Yoim, that whole period. And therefore, if it's a Vada Yoim, Kahanim, Toivlim, Boifrei, the Gemara Pshita, since the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yossi's period of Banish Mashes, that blink of an eye, happens after the end of Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes. So, of course, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes is not Banish Mashes, it's Vada Yoim. Of course, the Kanu can be Toivol. So the Gemara answers, no. Ma'u, the same, I would think. The Banish Mashes, Rabbi Yossi, Meshach Shach, but Rabbi Yehuda. I would think that maybe, I know it's after Rabbi Yehuda's, but I would think maybe it's the last moment, it's the last blink of an eye of Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes. And therefore, perhaps, if a Kayan would be Toivel in the last moment of Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes, that would not be good even according to Rabbi Yossi. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, that's Banish Mashes, so it's a suffix. Maybe the Kayan was being Toivel when it's already night, and he didn't go through the Harav Shemesh process, and therefore he'd have to wait 24 hours till he eats his Truma. That's what I would think. Kamash Malan, the Shalom Banish Mashes, Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadir, Maskel Banish Mashes, Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi's Banish Mashes has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda's at all. It doesn't even take up the last moment of Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes. I would have thought it does take up the last moment. It has some connection with Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes. Kamash Malan has absolutely no connection, and therefore, if a Koyin is Toivel in the time of Banish Mashes of Rabbi Yehuda from beginning to end, it's Vada Yoim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, it is a good tefillah, and with hair of Shemesh, he's able to eat his truma. Amr Rabba Bar Barchana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Halachik Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos, v'halachik Rabbi Yossi l'inyan truma. As Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan had a suffix. Who do you passing like? Is Banish Mashes like Rabbi Yehuda, or is Banish Mashes like Rabbi Yossi? And since we have a suffix, we're machmer like both. When Rabbi Yehuda comes out of Chumrah, we're machmer like him. When Rabbi Yossi comes out of Chumrah, we're machmer like him. And therefore, Le'inyan Shabbos, where it will come out of Chumrah according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're machmer like him. Le'inyan Trumah will come out of Chumrah like Rabbi Yossi, we're machmer like him. And the Gemara now wants to know the case where it would come out of Chumrah according to each of these shitas. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam halach Rabbi Yehuda. If you tell me that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. L'inyan Shabbos l'chumra, it's very good." As Rashi explains, that if someone did a malacha erev Shabbos, were machmir in Banish Mashes, starting from the period of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabban Rabbi Yosef, that machloikis in Rabbi Yehuda. But according to each shita, you start from the beginning and you say that any malacha done during that time were machmer, that perhaps it's already nighttime. That's one of the sveikas of Banish Mashes, that perhaps it's night. If it's night, you're doing a malacha on Shabbos. You don't know if you're doing a malacha or not. Therefore, as Rashi says, you're going to have to bring an Ashim Tali. An Ashim Tali is the korban that's brought whenever a person has in doubt whether he has been over an aveira or not. So therefore will be machmer to say that Banish Mashes begins from the time that Rav Yehuda says it does. If we go like Rabbi Yossi, it'll be a big kula, because Rabbi Yossi only begins after Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes has ended. So according to Rabbi Yossi, whatever was done in Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashes, it's Vadai, not Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. He did nothing wrong. You wouldn't have to bring an Ashim Tali. So we're machmer like Rabbi Yehuda. Ava le'inyan truma mayhi. But what is the chumra that you're going to give, le'inyan truma, that we're going to be machmer, you said, like Rabbi Yossi? What case? Ilem l'tvila. If you're going to say that the Chumrah is concerning Tefillah, that when can the Kohanim be Toivol, that they can be Toivol according to we're going to say that it's still daytime, and we're going to allow them, just like we said in Shabbos, that perhaps it's nighttime, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the person would have to bring an Ashram Talui, will be Machmer now, according to Rabbi Yossi, and will say that it's daytime. And the Banish Mashus begins only after Rabbi Yehuda's Banish Mashus ends. That's when, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Banish Mashus begins. So it's definitely daytime, and you can go to the mikveh. Is that what you mean, that you're going, according to Rabbi Yossi, by Truma, when the Tomei Koyin can be tovel in the mikveh? Sveikahi. That is a period of suffix. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan had a suffix. Do we pass in banish mush like Rabbi Yehuda, or do we pass in like Rabbi Yossi? So here would be a moment of suffix, and why should we be makel? This will come out of kula. Why should we be makel and say, oh, the halacha is like here, like Rabbi Yossi, that it's vaday laila in the banish mush's period of Rabbi Yehuda, and you could be tivel? That would come out to be a kula, and in fact, Rabbi Yochanan has a suffix, and he always wants to be machmer. Where is the chumra if I allow the koyin to be tivel and say that he went through the hair of shemesh process? So Ella, the case of Truma is different. La'achilas Truma. We're talking about when can the Kohen, after he has gone to the mikveh during the daytime, and now he wants to eat the Truma, when is it Vadai Laila that he can eat the Truma? So if I go like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, it'll become Vadai Laila when his Bein HaShemashis ends. So Rav Yochanan says, we have to be Machmer, that we have to wait another Harifayin after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashis ends, to give time for Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashis, because here I'm Machmer like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore the Kohen can only eat the Truma after the Bein HaShemashis of Rabbi Yossi has ended, and therefore comes out of Chumrah by Shabbos like Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out of Chumrah by Truma that the Kohen can only eat it if we're being Machmer like Rabbi Yossi after Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashis has ended, which follows Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashis. Rashi points out that the Gemara could have also have said, L'inyan Shabbos, we could be Machmer at the end of Shabbos like Rabbi Yossi. At the beginning of Shabbos, we're Machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, that the suffix of Bein HaShemashis is an earlier one, and therefore a person, if he does Malacha during that time, has to bring an Ashram Tali, because maybe it's Shabbos already. Moitzoi Shabbos, there will be Machmer like Rabbi Yossi, that the Bein HaShemashis ends later, and therefore if a person did Malacha in the Bein HaShemashis period of Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Yehuda considers to be Vadai Laila, but Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's the Bein HaShemashis, that Harifayin after Rabbi Yehuda's Shir of Bein HaShemashis ends, there's another Harifayin, and if a person does it during that moment of Harifayin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Vadai Laila, he doesn't have to bring an Ashram Tali, and according to Rabbi Yossi, that is the moment of Suffolk, it's Bein HaShemashis, and he would have to bring an Ashram Tali. So here by Moitzoi Shabbos Armachmer, to say that Vadai Laila starts later, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara could have said that also, but the Gemara says a chumra legabe truma. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that even though we had on Lamed Dal Lamed Beis that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel explaining the Brisa, and one version was Rabbah's version, one was Rabbi Yosef's version in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel of the redness of the sky and the blackness of the sky, the different shitas that we had mentioned there as to when precisely Bein HaShemashis is, here suddenly, and the Mephoshim will try to understand why it's necessary, but here suddenly Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel say that we have another criteria. If you only see one star at night, it's Vada Yoim, definitely day. Shnayim, if you see two stars, it's Bein HaShemashis. And if you see Shloisha, if you see three stars, Laila, it is night. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned like this in a Brice as well. Koicha Vechad Yoim, if you see one star, it's daytime. Shnayim, if you see two, it's Bein HaShemashis. And if you see three, Shloisha is Laila. If you see three, it is definitely night. Amr Rabbi Yossi, like a chavim gedoyle manirim b'yoyim. When we say that three is vade laila, three stars, it doesn't mean three big stars which are noticeable, which you could see even in the daytime. And it does not refer to small stars, she'ain near an elabalila, which you can only see when it's vadailila, it's black, the sky, and that's when even the small stars can be seen. The one, when we say that it's vadailila, it's ela beinonim, when you see three mid-sized stars. Once the three mid-sized stars come out, then it is vadai lila. The Mefarshim, as we mentioned, ask why did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel have to say this additional criteria of three medium-sized stars when we have the redness and the blackness of the horizon? Why do you need both? And the Mefarshim give terutzim here. One is just the opposite of the other. One terutz is that the top of the horizon, to know when it's vaday lila, that it's just as black as the bottom of the horizon, not everyone is able to decipher that. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel felt that an additional aid would be necessary, and that would be to tell the person to look for three mid-sized stars. The Gra says just the opposite. For someone to determine that the stars that they're seeing are mid-sized is very difficult, and that's why there's a second shear of the blackness of the top of the horizon is equal to the darkness and blackness of the bottom of the horizon. Amar Rav Yosi Rav Ziv Vida, continues the Gemara, Ha'oise melacha b'shnei b'ena shmashes, if someone does a melacha at the beginning of a Shabbos, Bein HaShemashes, and at the end, Moitzoi Shabbos, Bein HaShemashes, and it was all done with one forgetting that it was Shabbos, that it was Usher to do, so that person is Chayiv Chattas. If a person does a Malacha during one Bein HaShemashes at the beginning of Shabbos, then he would bring an Ashim Tolui, because he has a suffix, did I commit an Aver, did I do a Malacha on Shabbos or not? That's an Ashim Tali. But here, if he does it at the beginning of Shabbos Bein HaShemashes, on Erev Shabbos, and he does it Moitzoi Shabbos at the end of Shabbos Bein HaShemashes, then says Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Zvida that Chayv Chattas Mamanav Shach. Because if I say it's daytime, Bein HaShemashes, and Rashi explains it means he did it throughout the entire Bein HaShemashes. Because if he did it at different times in the Bein HaShemashes period, so if Friday he did it at the beginning of the Bein HaShemashes period, and Shabbos night he did it, Moitzoi Shabbos he did it at the end of the Bein HaShemashes, then we could say that again he brings an Ashim Tali, because maybe he wasn't over any Avera. Maybe when he did it at the beginning of the Bein HaShemashes period, Friday night, that was Vada Yoim. And maybe when he did it at the end of the Bein HaShemashes period, Moitzoi Shabbos, that was Vada Lila, and he wasn't over at all. But Rashi says it's speaking about that he did it throughout the Bein HaShemashes period. And therefore, if it's throughout the Bein HaShemashes period, Memanav Shach, if that period was day, so then he'll be over, he won't be over on Friday, but he'll be over Moitzoi Shabbos. And if that period was nighttime, he'll be over Friday night, and he won't be over Moitzoi Shabbos. But Memanav Shach, therefore, he has to bring a Chattas, which is brought on a person who knows that he did an Avera, but he did the Avera b'shogeg. And here, Memanav Shach, he can't have it both ways, and Memanav Shach, either way, he definitely, at one time during the Shabbos period, he was definitely over on Chil Shabbos b'shogeg. Omele Rava l'shame, Rava said to his servant, Aten you, delaikim lechu b'shir d'rabbanan, you are not well versed in the shiurim of the Rabbanan, so you may not be able to figure out the three medium stars, the horizon. I have another simon for you, another sign that Shabbos is coming. Adeshimsha reish diklu, as the sun, you see it setting, and it's just on top of the palm trees. Itlu shraga, Rashi says, itlu means lahadlik, you should hidliku eshaner, that's the time for you. It might not be exactly the beginning of Bein HaShemashes, it might be a couple of minutes before, but that don't wait till the last minute. As soon as you see that happening, that the sun setting on top of the palm trees, go ahead and light the Shabbos candle. The Gemara asks, b'yoyim ha'ma'unan mai, what about when it is a cloudy day, and he's not able to see the sun over the palm trees. So there's another sign. Bimasa, if you're in a city, Chazit Tarnagol, look at the roosters who are on top of the roofs. And if you're in a Bedibra, if you're in a field, then Arve, then look at the ravens who are gathering together in the fields. That's what they do right before it becomes dark, and after it becomes dark, then they disperse. Inami, or they have another sign for you, Adone. You can look at a type of plant, a wild gourd, and Rashi explains that this plant moves with the sun in the morning as the sun rises in the east. So the petals of the plant face east. Midday, when the sun is overhead, the petals are straight up. And as the sun begins to set, the petals turn towards the west. So when you see that the petals are almost near the ground on the western side, then you know that the sun is setting, that the Bein HaShemeshes is coming, and it's time to make all the last minute Shabbos preparations. And this ends for us here the sugya of Bein HaShemeshes. And before we go to the next Gemara, it is very important to mention what we have here in a Tosfos on Daf Lamed He Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMashchil, Trei Tilsim Mil. And we also have this Tosfos brought down in Psachim Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Rabbeinu Tam, amongst many other Rishonim and the Goinim, ask a stira between our sugya and the Gemara there in Psachim Tzadik Dalet. Our sugya, according to the way we learned from Rabbo and the name of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, came out that Bein HaShemeshes is 3/4 mil, which if a mil is 18 mil minutes, so 3/4 mil is 13.5 minutes. And the Rishonim all ask that the Gemara in Psachim Tzadik Dalet tells us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, and we were discussing Rabbi Yehuda Shita here, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda of the Eastern, the redness of the East and the West, and we explained it to mean 3/4 mil, and in Psachim it says that it was 4 mil. 4 mil is 72 minutes. So this is an open stira in the Shita concerning how long Bein HaShemeshes is. How long is it? Is it 13.5 minutes or is it 72 minutes? So there are various ways to answer this question. The Goinim Shita, this means Rav Haigun and Rav Shrirugun, they're of the opinion that in fact Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. In the beginning he felt that Tzeisa Kechavim, that nighttime is 4 mil after Shkia, and later in his life he felt that it's only 13.5, only 3/4 mil. So according to the Goinim, nighttime begins the way our Gemara concludes, which is 13.5 minutes after the sunset. However, the Rabbeinu Tam is of a different opinion. Rabbeinu Tam says that there are two shkiyas being discussed by Rabbi Yehuda. One in the Gemara in Psachim and one in our Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Psachim is speaking about the time that elapses between the sunset of the ball. And that takes, in fact, 4 mils, which is 4 times 18, 72 minutes. However, here in our Gemara, we were speaking about a different sunset, a much later sunset, which is towards the end of the 72 minutes, 13.5 minutes, 3/4 mil before the end of the 72 minutes, that is when the last rays of the sun has already set, the ball has set much earlier, but now the last rays, the last redness of the sky is going away, and that, before it becomes totally pitch black, that is 13.5, 3/4 mil before the end of the 72-minute period. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, Vaday Laila comes out to be at the end of 72 minutes, and Bein HaShemeshes, in fact, is the last 13.5 minutes. The Vilner Goyen agrees with the Goyenim that Lila, Avada Lila, is 13.5 minutes, 3/4 mil, following the Shkia, and the Shkia, he understands, not like Rabbeinu Tam, the Shkia means the sunset. And the Gra is a different explanation of the steer in Rabbi Yehuda, that the Gra says there's a difference between the physical night and the halachic night. In Psachim, Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about the physical night. So that, in fact, till it's pitch black, till it's visible by the human eye, that takes 72 minutes, 4 mil, until it becomes pitch black dark. However, halachically, it's already considered dark, as the Goyenim said, 13.5 minutes, 3/4 mil, after the setting of the ball of the sun. Continues the Gemara. Before we continue, just to mention that the Gra tells us that all of these cheshbonis, the 13, for example, the 13.5 minutes after Shkia, that refers only in Eretz Yisrael, and it's only for the spring and fall equinoxes. And the Gra tells us that each community in the world, depending how close or how far they are from the equator and what the season it is of the year, they have to make their own cheshbon exactly when the three kechavim beinanim come out. And the Gra tells us that Seisa kechavim is in fact 72 minutes after the sun setting. That's when all the stars come out. That's when it's physically night. However, nighttime halachically is by three kechavim beinonim, not all the stars, but three mid-sized stars, and that is, according to the sheet of the Gra and the Goyenim, 13 and a half minutes after the setting of the ball of the sun. And each community has to figure out exactly when they have their coming out of the three kachavim beinonim. Tana Rabbana, continues the Gemara. Sheish tekiyas taikin b'er Shabbos. There are six tekiyas which we would blow Erev Shabbos to make sure that the people stop doing work. This is, Rashi explains, a tekiya, a trua, and a tekiya done twice. A total of six kolos. This minig has ended many years ago, but still the Ramah tells us that every community should have a representative who goes around an hour before Baina Shmarsh is telling the people to complete their Shabbos preparations. And in America, in Eretz Yisrael, many communities throughout the world, sirens are sounded reminiscent of that ancient minig that we're learning about here in the Gemara of Sheish Tekiyas Taikin Erev Shabbos. What are the purpose of the six Tekiyas? Rishayna Lehi Batel Esa Amim Malacha. Where Shabbos Sadeis? First, the people who are in the fields have to end their malacha because they have to have time, Rashi says, to not only end the malacha but travel back to the city. Shnia, the second sound, the trua was lihibatul ir v'chanuyos, that the Rashi explains that the city should stop doing work and the stores should stop selling their merchandise. Shlish is the third tekiya was lahadagasaner, that they should light the Shabbos candle. Divrei Rav Nasan. And that's how Rav Nasi understands the first three sounds of the shofar. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi disagrees, and he says, Shlishis lachleitz tefillin. In the times of the Gemara, many people would wear tefillin an entire day, but you're not allowed to wear the tefillin on Shabbos and Yontiv, and therefore the third sound of the shofar was that people should remove their tefillin. Vishoya, and then the person blowing the shofar would wait kedei tzlias da'katan, to enable people after the lighting of the light, according to the first Shita. Rashi tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the lighting of the light was and it was done at the fourth tekiya, but according to Rav Nasan, we learned Lahadlikas of Ner was done by the third tekiya, by the third sound of the shofar. And then, according to both opinions, Vishoya, you wait kedei tzlias da'katan, until one can roast a small fish, or kedei lahadbig pasbataner, or until you could stick the bread in the oven and it gets a brown coloring from baking, which does not take too long of a time. And from here, the Rush says we see that just because, according to Rav Nosson, a light, a candle has been lit with the third tekiah, it does not prevent people from still doing melachas because they were not mekabel Shabbos yet until later when they daven in shul. They were not mekabel Shabbos with the lighting of the candle. At least the men weren't who were going to shul. So melachas were still able to be done. And then three more sounds, v'tokeya, umariya, v'tokeya, v'shaivis. And then the person accepts upon themselves Shabbos. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ma nasal hem lebavloim. What should we do with the Babylonians? Shetoikin umarian v'shayvsim etoich marian. That they don't do the seder like we learned before with the six tekiyas, but they make a tekiya, a trua. The last set of three is a tekiya and a trua. V'shayvsim, there's no three. It would seem there's only two. V'shayvsim etoich marian. And after they complete the trua, the second call, which would be from the beginning, the fifth call, then they are mekabel Shabbos upon themselves. Frey the Gemara, Taikin Marian. Are you telling me that the last set was not Tkiya Trua Tkiya, it was only Tkiya Trua? Havalu Chamisha, so altogether there's only five Koilos. And we said there has to be six. Ella, what did the Babylonians do? Shetoikin v'chayzim v'toikin. They made six Koilos. But instead of doing two sets of Tkiya Trua Tkiya, the second set was done a Tkiya and another Tkiya. And they did not do a Trua. They did a trua, but the trua was at the end. In other words, the last set by in Bavel was tekiya, the chayzer v'taykin, and they made another tekiya, and then finally marian v'shayvs to metach marian. And from the last trua, then they were shayvis. So whereas normally you're supposed to do two sets of tekiya trua tekiya, in Bavel they would do the first set tekiya trua tekiya, but the second set they would do tekiya tekiya trua, and then be makabel Shabbos. So he was complaining that they didn't do it correctly. The Gemara says minig avisenu avis. Same be a day, and that was their minig. Don't be upset that they did it this way. They were following the minig that they had. Masnile Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak Berei. So Rabbi Yehuda taught to Rabbi Yitzchak his son. Shnia lahadlikas in there. The second sound was to light the candle. The Gemara asked, Keman, who's that light? Loiker Rabbi Nosson. It's not like the sheet we had before for Rabbi Nosson, who said that the third sound, the tkiya of the end of the first set, was to tell the people to light the candle, v'loik Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And it was not like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who held that the first tekiah of the second set, and that was the fourth coil, that was lahadlik esaner. This shita that you taught your son of the second tekiah, the second sound, the trua, tekiah trua, at the second sound, he should be madlik in there. That's not going like Rav Nosson or like Rav Yudan Nosson. Ella, the Gemara changes his mind. Shlishes lahadlik esaner. It was, in fact, he taught his son that the third one is to be madlik in there. Keman, who's that going like Rav Nosson? It's not like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who said the fourth. It's going like Rabbi Nosson, who said the third sound was lahadlikas on there. Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel. We learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, sheish tekiyas toikin erev Shabbos, that you blow six tekiyas erev Shabbos. Hischel et kaya tekiya rishoina. If he began to blow the first tekiya, what happened at that time? Nimnu oim de masada mila ador. So the people who are in the field who heard that first tekiya, they stopped digging. Umilach resham plowing, work in the field. Umilas is called malacha shabasaris, and stopped doing all different works in the field. The ein hakroivin resham likanis achiyavoy rechaikin. The people who worked close to the city, it would take them less time to enter the city after they heard the sounds of the shofar. They could not enter the city. And they would all come into the city together. Rashi explains, why did they have to wait for the people in the far away fields to come back? Why couldn't they enter the city right away? Because then people would suspect. People don't know who came from a close field, who came from a far field. They would think that the people who were coming from a far field, really they were working close to the city also, and they continue with the malacha after the shofar was sounded. And they would be choshed that they did something wrong. Perhaps maybe even they'd suspect of being Mechal Shabbos. So therefore, they made halacha that everybody has to return at the same time. So everyone knew that it must have taken this long for them to walk back to the city, but not that they were doing malacha after the sound of that shofar. Vaday, and after the first shofar blast, chanuyos psuchais, the stores are still open in the city. Utrisim unachin, Rashi explains that they used to take off the shutters of the windows and the doors. They used to take it off during the business day, and they used to put it on wooden legs and make a table out of them, and they used to put the merchandise on top of the tables, so the shutters are still in their table mode. Hischelit koyat kiyushnia, but when the blower blew the second tekiya, nistalku atrisin, they took away these shutters, they put them back on top of the windows of the store, v'ninalu hachanuyos, and they closed up shop. Vadayin chamin menachin al gabi kira, the hot water, Rashi says, which was used to dilute the strong wine, was still on top of the stove. Ukedei rois, and there's still pots of food menachin al gabi kira, which were on top of the stove. Hischel et koyat kishlish, is when he blew the third kia. Silek hamisalik, so those pots that were going to be used for the evening suda were removed from the top of the kira. The hitman and matman, and those that were going to be used later on Shabbos, were insulated in hatmana with things that keep the heat. The hidlik hamadlik, and then whoever wanted to light the candle would light the everyone who was supposed to light the candle lit the candle. The shoya, and then the person blowing the shofar would wait that the people could make last minute preparation for Shabbos, as we learned before, k'day tzlias da katan, to roast a small fish, oy k'day lahadbik paspataner, or to stick the dough and make a bread, stick it onto the walls of the tanner until it got brown from the heat. And then finally, the one who was blowing the shofar, v'tekeya, he would blow Maria true of v'tekeya, and a final tekeya of v'shoivis, and then everybody would rest, and they would be mekabel Shabbos.